Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:20 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 18th. I thought we'd kick off today with the Bloomberg Dollar Index because it was down again today. So we're right in the region of the lows put in January. So the very mild upward bias that had been sustained all the way through from January has clearly been broken. There's still a very clear succession of lower rally highs since the testing of the moving average back in late March. And this continues to look like a bearish setup. So there's a number of different items that probably are contributing to this. The first, of course, is that the USA is far more aggressive in both monetary and fiscal stimulus and has a distinct willingness to run massive dual deficits compared to just about anywhere else. So that's contributing to the weakness of the dollar. Then that is also, I think, one of the most important linchpins to a lot of different investment strategies, because the USA was by far the best performing stock market, broadly speaking, in the world for approximately the last 5 years. The dollar was quite firm during that period of time. So as a foreign investor, you didn't really carry a lot of risk by investing in the USA, and you got to pick up an additional yield because interest rates were higher than everywhere else. You got a steady currency, and then you had the benefit of being able to invest in growth stocks that were particularly well tuned to performing in an extremely low interest rate environment. Well, now the dollar looks susceptible to additional downside. There is no interest rate differential to benefit from, because interest rates are back on the lower bound, and then you also have this massive supply of new dollars that are flooding the international system. So that's all putting downward pressure on the dollar overall. Of course, then it means that international investors don't have quite as attractive an opportunity to invest in the USA as they had before, but they may be more encouraged to keep their money at home. And by the same token, US investors might start looking abroad for better opportunities. If they think that the dollar is going to trend lower, then there will be higher yielding and better growth opportunities overseas, and the attraction of the growth sector may be less compelling. So when we think about the NASDAQ, for example, it did spectacularly well in 2020, but it was down in here today. It's really just barely steady in the region of this 13,000 level, but there is a clear correlation between the performance of the extraordinarily large cap companies and bond yields. So every time the bond yield starts to steady, then it takes it imposes pressure on the performance of the largest companies. And that's despite the fact that companies like Microsoft pay dividends and have a really great record of increasing those dividends. But the challenge is that the yield on these companies is low, the dividend growth rate might be high, but it's the basis upon which their spectacular advance is founded upon is the challenge right now. It's less of an issue for Microsoft because they have a number of different income streams, and cloud is the least important of them, although it's one of their higher growth sectors. When we think about Amazon, well, cloud services represents where the majority of profit comes from. So it has been bouncing over the last 3 or 4 days, but it was down in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today, and that was following only modest increases in the government bond yield. So if we then think about large cap growth, and we think about any one of these ETFs, so for example, the Schwab Large Cap Growth Fund has 13 or nearly 14 billion in market cap. When we think about the constituents of the ETF, well, then it's Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook, Alphabet, Tesla. So it is the largest holdings in the NASDAQ, and these are chunky holdings. So This has been one of the go-to places for people to invest over the course of the last few years, and it has really performed in an extremely admirable fashion. But we are seeing a clear loss of momentum. We have a failed upside break, and that's the first time we've had a failed upside break in a while. And I think realistically, the last time we had a failed upside break was towards the end of 2018, so it really does feel like a long time ago. And this is a trend in consistency, and with the dynamic of the failure being significantly larger than the dynamic of the breakout, well, it suggests that we're going to come back down and test at least the region of the trend mean, and perhaps more likely the 120 area. And then there will be big questions asked, because by that stage, bond yields will have risen further. But then we have the additional issue here that German government bond yields are also rising. And they're coming off of extraordinarily depressed levels, so they're still in negative territory overall. But it was almost 100 basis points in negative territory a year ago, and now it's only 10. So there is also a rivetingly consistent downtrend over the course of the last decade, and I think it feels like a very distant history when Bund yields were anywhere close to 4 or even 5%. But now they're coming back up towards the zero bound. So anyone who was buying Bunds in March of last year is taking a significant loss already. But if it starts to push back above zero, then that's going to represent a significant loss for anyone who was buying in negative yielding territory. Of course, all of this has been a fantastic bonus for the German government, and it has allowed them to a great deal of largesse in their public finances. Of course, there's an election coming up in Germany, and the Green Party are on the front foot, and they are talking about a Green New Deal for Europe, a green revolution, and spending an awful lot of money to achieve those goals. And that's likely to put upward pressure on yields. Of course, if money starts to come out of the bond market, well, then it will start to look for a home somewhere. And there's no questioning the fact that Europe is more of a bond market than an equity market. Nevertheless, the Euro Stoxx index is still yielding about 2% against a background where there's a significant quantity of bonds still in negative territory. So that positive carry certainly favors equities overall. Now, the European stock market was a little bit weaker in here today, but it's certainly holding this breakout to new highs, and the Euro Stoxx is testing the upper side of what's effectively a 20-year range. When we look at the Europe Stoxx, well, then it has already broken on the upside, and it was in positive territory today, and it is completing what is effectively a 21-year range. So there's clear potential here that as the dollar starts to trend lower, then it puts upward pressure on other currencies, and nobody is willing to spend in quite the same way that the USA is willing to do at present. So the euro, despite the fact that the ECB doesn't want to see a stronger euro and are talking it down at every opportunity, they're not acting. They're not greatly increasing the quantity of quantitative easing that they are willing to engage in. So that's putting upward pressure on the euro, and it's firming from the 120 area and the region of the trend mean. And then, of course, we have the UK's stronger growth, better record of coming through the pandemic, and then newfound independence and a willingness to stimulate growth at all costs. So now we have the pound starting to firm through the 140 area for the first time since 2018, and it looks somewhat better supported on this occasion, and certainly potential here for additional upside. Of course, it's not only the pound and the euro that are strengthening. So when we look around the world, despite the fact that Singapore has got an outbreak of the Indian variant of the coronavirus and is dealing with that right now. The Singapore dollar is strengthening down towards the lows here, or the US dollar is back on its lows versus the Singapore dollar. So a very similar range that we have with the Bloomberg Dollar Index. And the Straits Times Index bounced pretty emphatically today from the region of the trend mean. And then, of course, it's heavily weighted by banks. So when we think about what the outlook is for these countries, they benefit when the dollar is weaker, when we have banking sectors that benefit from a steeper yield curve, and then also have reasonably competitive yields. They have also, of course, been through a difficult time where they've had to cut their dividends, but then there isn't necessarily going to they're not going to necessarily have to continue to cut those dividends. And when that starts to turn around, they become significantly more attractive. When we then think about the ASEAN sector, well, it is about a third Singapore. And then we also have Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand. The Thai market was in positive territory as well in here today, and firming from the region of the trend mean. Then the Thai baht, which has been rather volatile, it remains still quite weak. So it's one of the exceptions in the region where the currency has not strengthened in a meaningful manner. But then we can think about Taiwan. There's certainly been a great deal of volatility because of Taiwan Semiconductor of late, but it was up in a pretty dynamic manner in here today. What I find particularly interesting about Taiwan is that it's the banking sector is really performing admirably in here. It pulled back sharply last week, but it was up in a dynamic manner and bouncing from the upper side of that underlying range in here today, which is rather encouraging. And it was also the steel and resources sectors were performing in Taiwan as well. When we think about South Korea, then it's also likely to continue to hold onto these highs if we see increasing demand for the currency from international investors. And of course, despite the fact that everyone seems to be extremely worried about India, the currency continues to appreciate, and it has been up on consecutive days for the last 3 weeks. The reality is that despite the fact that India has problems and investors are really not fans of the populist rhetoric that the Modi administration engages in, the reality is the Nifty continues to hold in the 14,000 level. It's been ranging for the last few weeks, and that has allowed the overbought condition to be unwound. And then there is just the background theme that the rest of the world simply cannot afford for India to fail. So it will be provided with whatever assistance is required in order to act as a bulwark against the expansionary ambitions of China. And then we have the Chinese market, which was also in positive territory today, and the CSI 300 is firming from the region of the trend mean. China is being led higher by the banking sector, and the banks have also firmed and have continued to push on the upside. When again we look at the technology sector, though, in China, well, New Oriental Education, which has been one of the darlings of the investment community for the last decade, has been down again in dynamic fashion. That was an awfully big decline we had last week. So while investors might look on China as a favorable potential investment destination, the previous darlings of the market are certainly under pressure. Alibaba is struggling to advance. And then, of course, we have the additional point that if bond yields are rising and interest rates are starting to push on the upside, or the bond market is at least willing to price in the scope for additional hikes in interest rates. That's going to weigh on Chinese tech companies exactly the same way it weighs on US tech companies. So that's, I think, an additional point that's worth considering as we think about how to invest abroad. Lumber prices were limit down again today. So this is now 7 consecutive days on the downside. So the price had been around 1700. It's now down to about 1200. There is a friend of mine is and someone I share positions on a number of investment committees with is heavily involved in the forestry sector, and he was highlighting the fact that the cost of building a home has gone from about $110 a square foot to 230. But if lumber prices continue to decline, then the cost of building homes will also decline. And then we can think about home builders. Well, home builders were in negative territory today, and this is still a quite a wide overbought condition relative to the trend mean. But there's still a lot of demand for houses, and the higher prices might be curtailing demand in the short term. And certainly the number of new builds has declined somewhat because of these higher lumber prices, but the prices will start to come down again if lumber persists in this decline, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't, for the simple reason that we're not about to run out of trees. And then we can think about coffee. The price has been resurgent, and the pace of the decline over the last week has been modest relative to the size of the upper dynamics. This looks like a base formation that is in the process of being completed. So that would suggest that there are still supply bottlenecks and drought conditions in Brazil. The sugar price is also continuing to consolidate above that 3-year base formation. We have seen some of the heat coming out of the grains and beans, however. The oats price has pulled back in a very dynamic manner over the course of the last 3 weeks, and it has been one of the best performers over the last few years. Soybeans had that initial downward dynamic last week, and it is still weak. So I think we are looking now at some of the short-term factors that people were worried about in relation to inflation are in fact starting to reverse. The other side of that equation, of course, is that bond yields are pushing higher. I think, though, that that is less about fears of immediate inflation and more simply about the fact that there is an awful lot of supply and not quite as much demand. And that alone is enough to push yields higher, push the dollar down, and start to create demand for additional upside, for, I guess, additional assets that can go up when the dollar goes down. So that's obviously beneficial for commodities as well as emerging markets. Gold prices were in marginally positive territory in here today, and this has been really quite consistent over the last 6 weeks with small ranges. And as long as it's doing that, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the immediate upside. At some stage, we will have a pullback to create a higher reaction low, and that will be clear confirmation that we're back in a demand-dominated environment overall. Copper prices have remained really quite firm, but they were off their highs in here today, so it's due some consolidation. I think it is likely that we're going to get some additional consolidation in the copper price. And then oil prices were off their highs as well in here today. Now we have the IEA talking about if the globe wants to reach carbon neutral by 2050, then the oil sector has to stop investing in new supply. The reality is that the majors have already stopped investing in new supply because the price isn't attractive enough to justify the massive expenditure to bring high-cost oil online. But What it also is implying, because the IEA expects the oil price to go down to $25 by 2050. Well, they're anticipating that demand is going to evaporate. They're ignoring the fact that in order to build all the infrastructure required for a green utopian energy sector, it's going to require trillions of dollars and a great deal more industrial resources and burning oil and diesel to build all of that infrastructure. And that could potentially represent a significant commodity-led bull market, which will greatly increase the quantity of carbon being emitted into the atmosphere. And of course, we've also, since we've seen a lot of accelerated trends starting to come back down, then it is worth highlighting that emissions, having been going up really in a straight line since November, had a clear downward dynamic in here today. So that suggests that a peak of at least near-term significance is in, and that we are going to see at least some consolidation of what has been a truly impressive bull market from the lows in March of last year. I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.